This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Here we are in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we're at a very special restaurant. You guys are trendsetters and risk takers. You're doing something different, something new.
Yeah, we're here at Detroit Street Filling Station. My name is Phyllis Engelbert, and I believe we're setting trends both with our food and with our ambiance and with our staff in terms of giving people a chance, the people that we employ here.
Every one of those thematic touch points are a story in themselves. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the food. Mm-hmm. You're vegan, right? And that's central to what you cook and present and share.
Right. Detroit Street Filling Station, like our other two restaurants, the Lunchroom Diner and the Lunchroom Bakery, are all 100% vegan, all plant-based. The reason for that is because my business partner and I both are vegan. We cook vegan. We love to demonstrate the breadth of plant-based cooking. We love to showcase the flavors of vegetables and other fresh foods and put them together into items that people are familiar with, that they like, that they want, comfort foods, to show that you can be filled up and satisfied.
It sounds like there aren't that many vegan restaurants in Ann Arbor.
That's true. There's not. There's R3, and then there's one other, and there are a couple of vegetarian restaurants, and there's other restaurants that do natural foods with some amount of vegan items on their menu. But in general, there is not a lot of vegan food here.
But it's going to change, isn't it?
I think that we're riding the beginning of a wave that's only growing.
Tell us about some of your signature dishes that you guys have come up with.
Probably our most popular dish is our backyard burger. People are talking about the Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat, but we make our own. And people claim it's even better than those other meat alternatives. It's a sink-your-teeth-into burger. It's seitan-based. It has a lot of great spices mixed in with it, and it holds together, and it's satisfying. And we serve it with herb aioli and fried mushrooms and melted cheddar-style cheese on a homemade pretzel bun that our bakers make. And it is delicious. Another one of our biggest sellers is our buffalo cauliflower. We coat it and fry it, and it's breaded cauliflower. It's spicy with our homemade ranch dressing. People can't get enough of that. We have japchae, a Korean sweet potato noodle dish made with lots of fresh vegetables. It's a little bit spicy, a little bit tangy, really comforting food. We have another pasta dish that has cauliflower Alfredo sauce in it, and again, lots of vegetables, sautéed broccoli is in there.
How about your protein delivery?
Right, yeah. So protein takes the form of beans. We have black beans, we have Cajun-style red beans dish, kidney beans, and then we make three different types of seitan, which is a gluten-based product that's high in protein. We have a breakfast sausage seitan we make. We have an andouille seitan sausage. And we have a chicken-style seitan, which we grill or fry depending on the dish that it's used in. We also have grilled tofu as an option, and we have braised tempeh as an option to add on to any dish.
So far, I know you're fairly new. People, when they walk in, asking for that their friends told them about. You know, is there any trend-setting signature dish so far?
It kind of depends. A lot of people come in at brunch for just about everything. Brunch is a completely different menu, and I don't know about the rest of the country, but in Ann Arbor, brunch is a phenomenon. Yeah, so we have a Homer Simpson plate, which has a little bit of everything. It has some grilled seitan chicken, it has some tofu vegetable scramble, it has a pancake with fruit compote, it has wilted kale, Sometimes people come in for our drinks. We have a great bar that has all craft cocktails. Our bar has its own produce list for ordering every day. All of our syrups and shrubs are made from fresh ingredients. So a lot of times people just come in for drinks, or drinks and appetizers, or people come in to hear the gypsy jazz that we have twice a week, or they come in just to get a buffalo cauliflower and a couple of beers.
Central to my fascination with you guys is your philosophy of employment. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that dynamic, because that's a trendsetter and hopefully a trailblazer for a change in how employers deal with people.
So central to our mission is building community, and that extends to both our guests and our staff. We have signage, we have imagery that indicates that all people are welcome here, and we do get a very diverse group of people coming in here. And
speaking of that, what's the bingo?
We have Lesbo Bingo. It happens about once every couple months, and it is a bingo game for lesbians and lesbians at heart, run by two extremely funny lesbians who are friends of mine, and they pack the place just because there's a need for a safe space like that where people can get together and have a good time.
So it's a sellout?
Oh, it's more than a sellout. We can't figure out how to pack enough seats into the restaurant to accommodate everybody who shows up. And then on staff, we make a point of hiring people who often have a hard time finding employment, people with histories of prison time and or drug addiction, alcoholism, people who are getting back on their feet.
How do you connect? Do you reach out? Do they walk in? A little bit of everything?
So we're part of a network called Recovery is Good Business. It's part of a large addiction treatment organization in town called Dawn Farm, and we're regularly in touch with them. So they'll say, we have people who need jobs. We'll say, we're in search of a cook or a dishwasher, and so we're constantly connecting with them. At this point, though, our employees bring in other employees, and people are all held to the same high standards. People are given support that they need. People are held accountable, and people do really well.
Success story. Share one of your favorites.
So we have a manager who has been with us now for 2 years. He came to us right out of treatment at Dawn Farm. And previous to that treatment, he had been living in his car and a drug addict. Before that, he had spent a year in the county jail. He got out of treatment, came to work for us as a dishwasher, and has done well, got involved in a Buddhist-style recovery organization that he's now one of the leaders of, climbed the ranks, worked every position from cook to baker to front of house member, and now he's a manager here at Detroit Street Filling Station. He got back into school. He's finishing at the community college, about to enter University of Michigan in the fall. We have another person who was our very first person in recovery, who worked for us as a cook for about 4 years, and now he's at the he's near the top of his class in law school.
Wow, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
So really rewarding. That's your pay, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, that's the greatest reward.
Very, very touching. All right, only because you got to do some cooking, and I have to try some of your food. I'm going to have to say goodbye, but thank you so much for taking the time. Really touching my heart.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, where would you direct them?
The Lunchroom A2, like A in the numeral 2.com, is the website for all three of our locations. You can message me at thelunchroomA2@gmail.com. Look up The Lunchroom or Detroit Street Filling Station on your search engine. When you come to Ann Arbor, we're in the Carytown neighborhood. And my name is Phyllis Engelbert.
Phyllis, thank you. You made my day. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan. We're here with Mel Drum at the Hands-On Museum. Very hands-on experience, literally.
Absolutely. Welcome. Thank you for being with us. Over 250 exhibits here that are truly hands-on for kids of all ages.
Theoretically targeted for kids, but just as fascinating for an adult of any age.
Oh, it's absolutely me. Our audience is ranging from preschoolers and their parents and all the way up through senior citizens. And you would think that you'd come in and the parents would be just really looking after their kids. All of a sudden, parents would be so engaged in the exhibits that they become the kids in many respects. So it's a lifelong learning experience.
And the thing that was palpable, we just noticed walking around, was the family experience, mom and dad and the kids all jointly playing interactive games.
Right, and looking at how the world is today, where people are so caught up with time constraints and their technologies, it's a very social experience. And what we really talk about more than being a science, technology, and engineering and math facility, it's a social gathering experience where people are coming together, and it's families. Families that often are having, you know, their challenge to spend time together, and families meeting other families that they may never have met anywhere else. So think of it as kind of a town square for science.
Fun, engaging, hands-on activities in every modality. Talk to us about your water exhibit.
It's all learning through play, and we have a wonderful water exhibit here. You can look at all that properties of water, talk about fluid dynamics, and you see a number of things that look like, you know, magical illusions. Mm-hmm. But it's not magic, it's science. You'll get wet, you'll have, you know, eye-opening moments, and we just hear, you know, giggles and screams of delight all day long.
Talk to us for a moment about, you have Google's presence big time in Ann Arbor, and they've engaged in a dynamic way with you guys.
Google, as you would imagine, has engaged with everybody they possibly can, but when Google came into Ann Arbor, they brought a wonderful display to us called Liquid Galaxy, and it allows you to go through and look through multiple large monitor screens to be able to travel anywhere on the Earth. And it almost appears to be in real time. You could go to a home in Salt Lake City. You could go to the Great Pyramids, and you do it in a matter of seconds through access to the internet.
Or Mars.
And you can also go to Mars, and you can go to the moon, and you can explore the oceans too. So it's the kind of thing where when I grew up, you had, you know, geography classes, and you'd be looking at maps on the wall. And here, the students are actually, you know, leading the journey through all this technology.
And then there's fiber optics or whatever, your high-tech internet that comes right under the building that allows you to do things that you couldn't normally do.
Right. It's not your standard kind of internet. I mean, we need ultra-high-speed connectivity, you know, the bandwidth that you would normally get. But being here in Ann Arbor and being, you know, right next door to the University of Michigan, the universities have, you know, much higher bandwidth internet systems, and we're privy to be able to be connected to it.
Do they know you plugged in?
Yes, they know we're plugged in.
That's really cool. Talk to us about some of the other outstanding elements of the hands-on and why you like even experiencing it yourself.
Well, the Hands-On Museum is truly a unique museum. It's a combination science center and children's museum focusing on science. But it's not just contained here in Ann Arbor. It's really designed around the idea of partnership. We are partnered with multiple other organizations where we are working together to inspire people. So we have within our organization a nature and environmental center where we have raptors and we have bats and invertebrates, and we have incredible animal ambassadors helping teach kids and explain programs to them. We also have a partnership with our colleagues in Belleville with the Yankee Air Museum. And all of these kind of partnerships come together to provide inspirational experiences. Almost a third of our programming happens outside of the museum. Either through that internet connection we just talked about, we broadcast into schools and libraries all over the world every single day with live two-way conversations, not just a talking head, but a real interactive kind of program. We'll send a kit of materials to a school and they'll enjoy it. You know, anywhere you can imagine, from Australia to the UK to Guam, to across the country through Canadian provinces. And then we also have a very, very large outreach program where a lot of kids can't come here. It's too difficult. So we take our vans, and we have five vans, and they're out to schools every single day.
So you bring the toys and bring machinery with you.
Right. We are totally self-contained, and we can bring all kinds of programming to anyone. So the idea is to have multiple exposures to scientific concepts and ideas, again, so you can say, maybe I can. If you don't see something, you know, it's not for a lack of talent. It's really for a lack of opportunity in the world today. So we want to make sure people understand the opportunities are out there.
Follows being right immersed in the university world here, that you would have undergrads as interns or volunteers and grad students and whatnot, all engaged here.
It's the best way. So imagine if you are a youngster, if you're a fourth or fifth grader, you're going to be much more inspired by looking at, you know, someone that you aspire to become, a slightly older peer. These are students in the colleges that are there. They are so excited about their content, what they're trying to do, and for them to be able to give something back and inspire someone that reminds them of themselves just a few years before is the ultimate experience. And it works with undergraduates, it works with high school students. We probably have close to, I don't know, several hundred college students a year that come in and ask to volunteer here so they can share what they're learning.
You depend on that.
We absolutely depend on it. We are a small organization, and it takes a community of people to make it work. There's no way we could afford to pay for all that talent. We wish we could. But by having people coming in and working with us and sharing what they're learning, it is something that new people then will give back later on.
Talk to us for a moment about how corporate comes to you to see how they can help.
It's wonderful. Instead of us having to go out to corporate and beg for help, corporate community and the foundation community, they see what we're trying to do. They see the reach we have. They see how many kids are being inspired. So they're now coming to us, thankfully, to say, how do we partner with you? How do we bring something to the museum that's not going to be an ad for what they do, but an ad for the idea of really pursuing STEM careers? Again, it doesn't get any better than that.
And it is interesting, and it speaks to the positive potential of America right now, in that corporate America is rising in their consciousness and their give back.
I think you're absolutely right, and I think everyone is. I look at a lot of our younger employees in particular that are coming in, and they are so cause-driven. And seeing the same thing with the corporate community, they're realizing it's more than just looking at the profits. It's really looking about building a country, building a community of people, and really being self-sustaining in ways that I don't think we thought about before. I think it was, you know, innate in all of us that we wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. But now to say it has become a priority is so refreshing, and it's so encouraging to all of us that work in this realm.
And I think an example would be Toyota, and they built a whole facility here. But there are no big signs and graphics that I saw that said funded by Toyota even.
Toyota has a major presence in the Ann Arbor area. And when we partnered with them, a lot of places you would see corporations wanting to have a huge sign, almost like a neon sign, saying we're here, we're having their products on display. And that was completely opposite of what they wanted to do. Their goal was really to inspire people to look at STEM. So, of course, there's recognition, but the real recognition happens when someone from Toyota will come in and watch the children truly learning, having meaningful experiences, saying, that's what's important to us.
That's really cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah, give me another example of a give back.
Oh, there are just so many of them. It's really hard to pick one. I'll give you an example of a family here in Ann Arbor that has always been focused on the idea of wellness. And this is a family that has been here for, you know, multiple generations. They've been very successful. And they, too, like a lot of people, we don't want any recognition for what we're doing, but we want to help you build something that is going to be a wonderful contribution to trying to help childhood obesity and healthy eating habits. We don't want our name on it anywhere, but let us help you connect to 10 or 12 different people in the community that can provide content for you to create something. And every time we try to go back and recognize them, they're saying it's not about us, it's about what we do for our community.
We've talked about the kids and the engagement of kids. But like the Children's Museum in Madison, you guys open up your doors sometimes at nighttime for grown-up events, and they love playing the kid games.
Oh, they absolutely do. We just had a wonderful event, our 10th anniversary of what we call Tech Twilight. And it's an after-hour celebration where, you know, the vibe of the museum changes just a little bit. It's for adults becoming kids again, and there's, you know, you often have great food and beverages that, you know, set people at ease. And they'll spend hours and hours just exploring, partially remembering what it was like when they were a kid visiting a place like this, and also having those moments of discovery where they're saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know, and now I know something new. And they ask for more and more of those all the time. And those adult nights are also interesting in that we're able to bring in community partners that, you know, we all think about cities where there's all these industrial buildings and all these things going on. We have no idea what happens. Sometimes they will open their doors, they will bring in some of their most secret things they're doing, share them here, and then you have both the idea of, look what's happening in my community, look what I can do, and look how the world is a better place than we might have thought.
Much more than a kid museum, hands-on, it's really a community center.
It's really a community center that is focused on social learning, tied around the sciences, nature, the environment, and aviation and aerospace. Kind of an interesting collection.
I love it. And ever evolving and changing.
It is constantly changing. I look back to just a few years ago, we had a visitor that had not been here for 3 or 4 years, and they said, we hardly recognize it, and they had a huge smile on their face. But at the same time, we always have to hold over some of the long-term favorites. I mean, there are exhibits you just cannot remove. We have a wonderful bubble capsule that has been here for 30 years, and it'll probably be here for the next 30 years. But at the same time, you turn the corner, and there's something totally different.
And one more before we go, the interactive expectations of the kids coming in and the grown-ups has evolved and changed dramatically over the last 10, 20 years, too.
It has changed completely. That's a really good point. I think about 10, 15 years ago, the exhibits that we would do were smaller individual experiences. Now people coming in, they're so used to seeing very immersive experiences. They're seeing such high definition and richness in everything they do. We're building much more immersive kind of experiences where, and on one hand, you kind of escape from the world that you're in during the day, and then you're also much more deeply involved in the content. That ups the bar for us a little bit in that it's more difficult to change them frequently because they're so expensive. But, you know, we have a lot of clever people on staff that help us figure out how to do it. And, you know, all of our colleagues across the country are working together to do the same thing.
And that being said, you do a lot of partnerships and exchanging of even events and displays.
Everything we do here is in collaboration and partnership. We really don't. That's the only C word we use. Competition is not something we really think about, nor do our colleagues. We basically, we bet the farm on the idea of collaboration. We've learned to leave our ego at the door, and we've learned that we're better together. And by bringing people together and seeking collaborative funding and opportunities, we reach so many more people.
Mel Drum, President and CEO of Ann Arbor Hands-On Museum, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
And for somebody wanting to learn more, one-stop shopping website, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to our website, which is aahom.org.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Ann Arbor, Michigan. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the Society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.